You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Wolfgang W. Halbig. Wolfgang, thanks for joining us again.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me back, Dave.
Wolfgang, we did an interview not too long ago, and it was placed up on the AmericanFreePress.net website on February 11th, and so that was a week ago. And since that time, the interview has garnered quite a bit of attention, to the point that right now, as we speak, the interview on YouTube is up to 104,126 listens with 282 comments. And I can say that most of them are in favor of what you had said in the interview. And they're very supportive of you, and they want you to be safe and go for it. We need more people like that out there. Other YouTube sites have picked up this interview and placed it on their pages. Notice one earlier, I never even heard of them. This one had about 42,000 just on its site alone. And there are several others and many more that I don't even know about, you don't even know about, that have them. So I would suspect that this interview has been listened to conservatively at least 250,000 times in 1 week, which is significant. Although you could see these videos of kittens and cats chasing laser pointers and they garner like 20 million. But for our purposes, which is serious stuff and talking about current events and the news and subjects with very big implications, this is pretty huge. And in fact, it is the biggest video, even though it's not a video, it's audio, but it's the biggest item that American Free Press has on its YouTube channel so far as generating interest. And it's continuing to grow. So that is the backdrop for why we're talking again so soon after the first time we spoke. And of course, we spoke in January, I believe it was, or beginning of February, and it took a while for the interview to go up in its edited format, which cut about 50% of the time that one would spend listening to it with no change of content. So what I'm going to do now, and we spoke about this prior to the interview because there were a few posts that are wondering why is there no space in between, and some now are speculating that, oh, it's it's created.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like we digitally created the interview. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the unedited interview, which is going to be 50% longer. So people will have to, well, at least the people who believe that it was altered, then they could listen to it for the full over an hour that we originally spoke. And they could see that there's no difference in the content. It's exactly the same. Nothing was edited, just spaces. And sometimes the sound anomalies, like whistles and all that.
Right, right.
In the interview, you gave out your phone number, and that was your home phone number. And you did that because you wanted people to know you weren't joking or lying or anything. And here's my number. You want to call me? Let's talk about it. Why don't you let the listeners know when did it start happening and what exactly happened?
As we ended your broadcast, you know, I give my number out because, like you just said, I think it's important that people know that the person is real, that you know, I've got one name, and I actually answer the phone. When people call, I really try to be respectful. I want to answer the phone. I want to answer their questions because guess what? I think it's time for us to have a conversation, and we should not be afraid to talk to each other. And you gave us that format, and I never thought it would just take off like this. I'm in shock that there's so many caring people out there who care about this country. And what I love is I'm starting to hear from police officers, paramedics, firefighters, registered nurses. I think we did something that, I don't know, it's just amazing that I get these phone calls, and they're kind. Just before you called me, I had a grandmother who had a grandchild in Caitlin Rogue. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. She said my grandson was in her class. He's a first grader. And he says, Mr. Halbig, I don't believe it happened. Her daughter is giving her such a hard time. And here is a grandmother who doesn't even believe it happened. Doesn't even believe her own daughter. So I think there are a lot of people who just want to, they want the truth. And they're starting to change their terminology. We're not going to be conspiracy theorists. We're not going to talk about a hoax. We're not going to talk about red flags. We're going to use good old terminology. This was probably the biggest illusion that's ever been pulled off by Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Administration. And I think people are starting to wake up. I think you and I are validating what they've been thinking all along.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the case. There are an incredible number of people that have been tuning into this When did the first call come in after the interview went up last? Now, today is what, Tuesday? So it was last Tuesday. The interview went up last Tuesday. When did the first call come in?
The next day.
You probably remember the first one, right? Because it's usually the most significant in people's minds.
Well, I think, yeah, the first call really came from actually overseas, from Switzerland. They just wanted to thank me for having the courage to ask questions, to ask the right questions. And they were amazed that I can't get information through the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. They were amazed that nobody would tell me why no trauma helicopters or allow the paramedics or EMTs inside, who declared all of those children dead within 11. I mean, they were just validating everything we said on your show.
Mm-hmm. So the first one was from Switzerland. What time did that come in about?
That came in about 9 o'clock at night.
Wow, okay. Did any more calls come in after the one from Switzerland?
Oh, yeah. It's almost every other 10 minutes the phone was ringing. It was almost nonstop to where I had to disconnect it because my answering machine only takes up to 11 calls, you know. And at nighttime, my wife says I need to disconnect it because she needs to get ready for school the next day. She works in a public school system.
Okay. After the call from Switzerland came in at 9 o'clock at night, did any more calls come in that evening after the call?
Oh, yeah. But then all of a sudden when I hung up after about 10 minutes, here comes another call. So eventually, after about three calls that night, we just disconnected the phone till the next day.
Right. Yeah, and I know that you did because I called once. And I let it ring and ring and ring because I know you have an answering machine and there was nothing there. So, and then I found that afterwards. So the total of how many calls you figure have come in that you've heard ring or including
I probably have answered over 120 phone calls.
Wow. Go ahead with what you were saying before about Belgium. You're saying they were from all across the planet?
From Belgium, London, Austria, a lot of Canada, a lot of calls from Canada. And I was just amazed to see that many people that care about what happened on December 14th, 2012.
Right. You spoke to these people. Some of them, you told me, they were crying.
They were crying. I've had mothers. I've had grandmothers. I tell you what, the greatest honor is to listen to all the military men who served our country. God, are they patriots. And you know what? They call and first they say, I can't believe you answered the phone. And I said, well, I put my number out there and if I'm going to do that, then I need to be respectful and have a conversation and answer the phone. I mean, Dave, these are people who served our country, fighter pilots. I mean, these are people who love their country. And they question certain things that happened that day just like I do. And it's just nice to see it. And I can tell you this. I have not had one email or Facebook or a phone call that was rude, disrespectful. So we're doing something right here. I think we're starting to see that we need to come together.
Well, you know, most people in their lives would even be in a position to experience what you have over the past week, getting 120 phone calls from speaking about something. I know that I never have gotten 120 phone calls. I'm sure that most people have not gotten 120 phone calls from complete strangers talking about something that you talked about in the course of a week. How does that make you feel?
You know, being 67 years old, it makes me feel proud. Remember the last time you and I had a chance to talk? I'm a naturalized citizen, Dave. I don't know if a lot of people understand what it really means. You know, when you're standing in a federal courtroom with hundreds of other people and that federal judge, you know, we all stand up and raise our right hand and they give you the oath of citizenship. Dave, you get goosebumps. It is the greatest honor you can have. So I think what I'm doing is I'm trying to be a good citizen. I'm trying to be a person who just wants to ask questions and have a conversation. And I think through your show, we found that mechanism. And I didn't realize it was going to have such an impact.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the people I'm interviewing ask me, what's the size of your audience? And I tell them, I said, I never know. I could never even attempt to guess because if I say, well, I think this is going to be a well-received interview, it turns out it's not and vice versa. So,
well, Dave, I can tell you this. I can tell you this for a fact that your show even reached Newtown Police Department. They are listening to the American Free Press because the Newtown Police Department contacted the Sheriff's Department again, and they had serious issues with what I said on your talk show.
Wow. Why don't you tell listeners about how all this unfolded?
I think it's your fault, Dave, because, you know, you're asking me all these questions. Have you ever been to Newtown? And I said on your show, no, I have not. And then I said to you that I'm looking forward to going up there in about a month or so, because I'd like to really see the school board members. I need to ask them, why are they refusing to respond to my Connecticut Freedom of Information Act? These are simple, simple questions. They're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. They will not hurt any of the supposed parents who lost children. Simple, simple question. So I guess they heard that on the show that I'm coming to Connecticut. So obviously, the Newtown Police Department contacted the Lake County Sheriff's Office and had sheriff's officers come to my house yesterday. I mean, they walked in. I'm looking at them. I'm saying, now, these are uniformed this time. They had uniforms on, you know. And they started asking me questions. They told me, Mr. Helbig, we got a phone call from the Newtown Police Department. They want to know when you're coming to Newtown. And I said, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming to Newtown. It's none of their business. I'll travel the way I want to travel. They wanted to know when I was coming to Newtown. And the next question that really bothered me, he asked me whether I have a gun or not. They want to know if you have a gun. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And you know what the sheriff said? He said, Mr. Helbig, I'm embarrassed to have to ask you that question.
Yeah, but they can ask you that question.
Well, they can, but I think people know me in the community, and I think they see the environment I live in, the type of person I am, the kind of work I do for a living. I train people on school safety nationwide, so it was just strange for that to happen yesterday.
What time was it that they came over, you said?
About 11:30.
And this was the Sheriff's Department, right?
Yeah, Lake County Sheriff's Department. Last time, it was two homicide investigators, plainclothes. This time, they came in uniform in their patrol cars. And they parked at least a couple of houses down so it didn't make it look like I was the bad guy. They walked down to my house. So.
Right, and it made the person they parked in front of look like it was, look like they were
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, it made them look bad.
Right. They both drove separate cars?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What were you doing?
You know, I'm answering Facebook, I'm answering emails, I'm answering phone calls. Trust me, Dave, you got me busy.
Sorry. But, so they come, they ring the bell, and did they come in?
Absolutely. I brought them into my office. You know, this time I didn't take them in the living room. I just brought them into my office and sat down. And I could sense in their body language that they were uncomfortable with having to ask me those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Asked me if I've ever been in a mental institution. And they apologized. I can tell you this, very professional when they left, shook my hands, and they apologized for the fact that they even had to come here to do this. So there's something going on. And you know what's really ironic? The deputy said, you know, they just keep calling over and over. And I said, look, do me a favor. I gave him my business card. I said, here's my home phone number. Why not have them call me and let's just have a conversation and let them answer my question. And guess what? I'll go away. Let the people know the truth and we'll just disappear. I mean, how simple can that be? Simple questions. And he said, I'll give him the number. And I said, tell him to call me tonight. I'll be here. I'll leave the phone on. Never heard a word.
Yeah, of course not. How long did they stay for?
10-15 minutes.
Okay. Did you offer them anything to drink?
No.
But they were a lot nicer than the homicide detectives.
Trust me. Yeah, they said, I apologize. We're embarrassed. I think what they said, the Newtown Police Department tried to portray me sort of like a person wearing camo pants, you know, and you know, have deer heads all over my house and rifles everywhere. I mean, I think really that's what they were saying to me. It was portrayed that I was really some type of a
conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, serious. I think they walked in and they said, you know, he's such a nice gentleman, you know. He did say that. I think the way they talked, that we're supposed to expect you to be in camo pants and all kind of gear and, you know, have deer heads. They did. Deer heads on the wall. You have to laugh. I mean, be honest with you, I have seen this as a law enforcement officer. That's the game they play. But we need to play the game better and be smarter. Dave, we got to change the way we play the game.
As a former Florida State Trooper, the questions that these two sheriff's officers asked you, are those appropriate questions for a law enforcement officer to ask?
In this day and time, I think so. But my message to them was, why are you the messenger? Why are they using the Lake County Sheriff's Office as an extension in trying to be the messenger? If they didn't like what Wolfgang Helbig was asking, then the state attorney for the state of Connecticut ought to write a letter, cease and desist. But they can't do it because I'm using the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act for the information, which is public record, which I'm not getting for over 10 months. So they're trying to, again, it's an intimidation. It just didn't sound that way yesterday, but it is. It's just, you're trying to embarrass me. You're trying to intimidate me. It's just a game they play. And you know what? Thank God I was a state trooper and a customs agent. I understand how we play the games. But the average person would truly be intimidated, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. The last time you were visited by the sheriff's office, the homicide investigators, which was just in December, right?
And yeah, about a week before Christmas.
Right, and it took them quite a bit of time to get there because you had been questioning Sandy Hook since February of 2013. You got a visit at the end of December 2013.
Right.
And you got their business cards. Did you get the business cards of these cops?
I think I did. I just don't know what I did with them.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking is because there are people, one person on one of the posts there, the video, said, why did we edit out the names of the homicide investigators?
That's a fair question.
Yeah, and we didn't edit them out because we never had them in. So
no, I never gave them to you.
Right, and I never asked.
The day that they left my house, I emailed the sheriff of Lake County. His name is Gary Borders, and I expressed my thoughts about what they just did, which I did not appreciate. Oh, yeah, I found the names. They are Detective from the Lake County Sheriff's Office, Homicide Investigator Clay Watkins, and Detective Chris Husky.
Wolfgang Halbig, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to listeners, for the update, and looking forward to talking to you again. Thanks, Wolfgang.
Well, Dave, I really want to make sure that every law enforcement officer out there, every paramedic or EMT, every registered nurse, I know you have questions. Just remember when we raised our right hand and we took that oath to serve and protect, our country needs us now more than ever. Please, please, if you have any doubts and if you have information that could solve this puzzle and stop this panic and fear throughout this country and our public school system, let all of us know. Help us. Let every parent, every school district, I'm doing this for every school superintendent and every school board member, because guess what? They're scared to death that the next Sandy Hook may happen in their school. So, Dave, I really appreciate American Free Press and you giving us this opportunity.
Thank you, Wolf.
Thank you.